We are fortunate in this century because of the fact that almost all the saints who have gone by, they are valuable saints in connection with their self-knowledge and God-knowledge. We have all with us. Had we been just come about 100 years back, the saints of Swami Shivdyal Singh, the latest master of India, would not have been in our position. Had we come another 500 years back, the saints of the Sikh saints, Guru Nanak and the others who followed him, would not have been, you know, on our record. And even still further back, say, about 1400 years, we would not have the Quran in our position. Similarly, had we come before 2000 years, the valuable Bible, the holy sayings of the Christ could not have been in our hands. Still, we go back further, the sayings about 5 or 6 thousand years back, the sayings of the Jainis and the Buddhists would not have been in our hands. So you will see that we are fortunate that almost all these sayings and experiences of those great men who have gone by are now in our hands, and we can refer to them for the subject. In almost all the sayings, scriptures of the holy saints, we find one thing which helped them to contact God, and that is the powers of God which is working at the back of all creation and is immanent in every form. They say that to meet God, the first elementary step is to just listen and practice the names of God. All saints who came here, they use certain names for the expression of that almighty power, and that is called generally the norm or word. Those are all very valuable, more than the diamonds and jewels. For those who want to tread the path to reality, but the few there are who really understand the expression of Naam or word, there are two kinds of words. One, those with those saints and great ones who came in the past, they used from the various languages to express that reality. There are so many names of the same truth. It does not matter if you use one name or the other name as expressed by the great ones, but the most important part is we should contact the power with the words. So there are two parts of the thing. One, the word is used to express that God in action power or the reality at the back of all creation. And the other, the named. In this connection, if you want to really understand what Naam is, if you go through the various saint scriptures, we find that the power that creates the world and the universe is called name and shabda. These are Hindi words meaning music or voice by saints. Vedas likewise called in Nad. Rishis call it Akashvani, heavenly melody. Christ called it word and the name of God. Muhammad call it Kalma Alaihi, or the voice of Allah. Kalbangi Asmani, voice of heavens. Or Ismi Adam, the principal factor. Guru Nanak calls it Gurbani, voice of the master of name. But name, truly speaking, is no language. No language has power to emancipate languages, to emancipate. Languages are different for different nations, but the power that emancipates is universal. It is one for the whole universe. It is within Hindus, Mohammedans, Christians, Jews, in short, within every person of any religion. That is what is praised in the holy scriptures of all denominations. The holy Granth, Vedas, the Shastras, and the holy Quran and the holy Bible, etc. Similarly, Guru Nanak and other saints praise this power, but there are in the books only praises. That power itself is not in them. That is within you. It is a very deep thought requiring full attention for its conception. The name that emancipates is an unwritten law and an unspoken language. But our books are in languages. That power is not in any language. Turkish, Arabic, Persian, Sanskrit, etc. Accordingly, that cannot be brought into writing. Therefore, it is better to go to a holy person who has sense within, who analyzes his soul from the body and transcends it. When he initiates you to the path, you should put in your efforts and ascend with it. One law for the whole universe. It is not modern. It is in force since the day of creation. It was never designed by man. The Creator himself designed it. We can neither alter it nor add to it. We have got to ascend through it. Whatever is being explained by the various saints is almost the same. The difference is in the language only, but the purpose and the subject is the same. I am just taking up a hymn of late Swami Shivdayal Singh, and also giving reference to the sayings of the other saints to prove that their thoughts were parallel on the subject. But those who remain within ethical codes or religious sectarianism are not being referred to here. I shall say, we are not anywhere near even the biography philosophy given to us by the saints. All saints who ascended higher had the same path. It is a natural science, not artificial. It is within every person. If all men rightly understood this philosophy, there should be no dispute in the world. But the negative power within them does not allow them to understand it. Today I take up the subject of the analysis of name, of word, as explained by Swamiji. What is name? He himself replies, let us now analyze the name in two classes dividing the same. I shall call them vocal and divine. Within this difference, gross and fine, call it vocal or call it word, which can be spoken or uttered. All that you can write or read is the vocal. Name of God is of two kinds, vocal and divine. Whatever can be spoken, written or read is vocal name, which is again subdivided into four classes. Bakri. First is that which is articulated by tongue. As I am talking, as sparrows, crows and other animals utter voices, and we all talk with one another. Second, madhama, which is whispered very low in the throat by contacting the tongue with the palate. Third, prasanti, is that which is spoken at heart center of the yogis, meaning which is spoken in mind. The tongue and the throat are both unaware of it. Fourth is para. It is that which the yogi set in vibrations from the navi, navel center of the yogis. But the name divine, that emancipates, is beyond these four. All holy books of the world praise that name, but that is not in them. When you ascend within, conquering lust, anger, etc., five passions, light will be visible, the veils will be torn asunder, and the peace will reign. Here, that divine name is audible. If there is birth of the soul in some physical form of the highest order, it is as human being. All religions agree at this point. Christians say, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Mohammedans say human being is the best of creation. Hindus say human form is God-like form, because the secrets kept hidden within a human form by the Creator are not found anywhere else. Guru Nanak says with other saints that within us are millions of mountains and rivers and other creations. It is supported by Maulana Rum. Within our oceans, forests and mountains, at the sight of which our thought and imagination simply baffles. All things are ascended. Who ascended higher have like thoughts. These disputes among religions are the outcome of the ignorant preachers. And Swamiji says, the name that can be written and read are spoken in vocal name. That will lead to the divine name beyond, audible through your master alone. A person conveys his thought to another through a language, not only persons, animals too, convey their thought to other animals through animal language. And birds likewise convey their thoughts to other birds through some bird language. We all convey our thoughts to one another through some language. Now, this discourse is being conducted through some language. Any saint who has sense all express, will express inner experiences in local language. The Lord God, having placed all the heavens within every man, and having drawn a veil behind the eyes, and pushed the person outside, that is here in the physical world. Throughout his life the person remains outside. The priceless treasures placed by the Lord God within his person remained untouched, like millions of rupees buried underground in the house of the person who did not dig them up. Hence the person came empty-handed and departed empty-handed. Guru Nanak says, within this body are nine heavenly kingdoms, with all the shops, markets and streets. Within this body are Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, the Trinity of God who create the worlds. This is the message of Guru Nanak. But these secrets within are available to a master who has ascended his soul within. If a person is desirous of becoming a doctor or an engineer, only a doctor or an engineer can help him. There is a sort of locked window behind our eyes which cannot be unlocked by ourselves. Shavastavraya says, likewise, the Lord Emperor has strongly locked the door, descending as a man. He himself opens the door. God has drawn a strong veil behind the eyes. He himself has come as another person like us, as a master, to withdraw the veil. What is his teaching? Shavastavraya says next. Silently listen to five heavenly melodies that descend from the seventh sky beyond the sixth. Similarly, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Just see the time of year. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. See Corinthians. That power which emancipates is not up to this, up to the eye center. When you vacate the nine openings in the human body, through which your attention flows outside, with two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, one mouth, one sex organ, and one rectum. Then in the tenth intellect, the third eye behind the eyes, divine music is reverberating. That is the sweetest of all musics, and very charming. Holy books are world religions, only praise that divine music. Shepherd, an Indian saint, says, sugar is sweet. Sugar products are sweet. Honey is sweet. Fresh milk is sweet. But compared with God of sweet, none of these sweet things is as sweet as you are. Sugar products, honey and milk are all sweet things, but the sweetness of God cannot be found in them. God and divine music are one. That is placed by God within every man, person. If we do not rend the veil and ascend within, it is our fault. Until you meet a master who goes within, you cannot have these treasures. But fortunately, you meet such a master, call him teacher or call him by any other name, and according to his instructions, if you ascend within, all these treasures and powers are at your disposal. A master knowing the name sublime helps in turning, in tuning the soul to divine. A master who ascends the heavens within and who is called as true master and holy grant will not advise us to leave our religion, our nation, our family or our home. On the contrary, he advises that we should divert our attention to the music within us while living in our family. This is only what is needed. A soul in tune with the music will receive peace. It means that master's duty ends here, but it is up to the student now whether he brings his soul in tune with it or not. Only a master of such great fame unites the named and the name. It is essential that the master himself should be one who ascends within. There are such masters in the world, both among Hindus and Mohammedans and other religions, but they are not easily available. My master had to search hard for 20 years. Before his initiation by Baba Jamal Singh in 1894, there were many initiations. There were many learned priests and monks, several relations, sectarians. But as so long as a true master is not contacting, they are of no use. I had myself to search for the master for over 15 years. What is the work of a true master? To disclose secret of divine name and then to connect your soul to divine music within. If you repeat the vocal in mind, the name divine you can find. Now the question arises, what is whether the vocal name can be of any use to us? Allah, Khuda, Vaheguru, Ram, Rahim, Ishwar, Parmeshwar, God and Jehovah, etc. are our words. These are vocal names. These are not divine names. Divine alone gives emancipation and peace. For instance, if we repeat sugar, sugar, our mouth is not sweetened. But if we eat sugar, our mouth will be sweetened. Hence, Swamiji says the divine name is beyond speaking, writing and reading. For that which can be spoken, written or read is a vocal name. The name is divine, and name is vocal. Name without the named is of no use. Just as our repetition of sugar, sugar, without eating sugar is of no use. Similarly, if you go on repeating Ram, 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 or Rahim, Rahim, or any other name, we get nowhere. The world is clinging to the names, but the power Ram is neglected. The same point is stressed by Mohammedan saints. You are calling the name, look for the named. A name without the named is of little use. All the life was spent in books, remaining in words only. The name could not be seen. So long as the name is not seen, all is useless. Tulsi, a great saint of India, also says, so long as we do not see and contact with the Nam power, we cannot reap the full fruit. Just as by uttering the words of money, 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 man does not become rich. We have to earn it by hard labor. this name can be had, can be contacted only within our own body. This is what Guru Arjuna says on this subject. Now stating further, Swamiji says, cleaning the mind and soul with vocal, ascend within to find unequivocal. We have to make use of both the vocal and the divine. By the help of vocal, we shall associate ourselves with the Master, and we shall clear all our doubts. When our inquiry is completed, that everything is within us, we will request the Master to initiate us, and we shall sit at meditation early in the morning for 2 or 3 hours according to his instructions. It will result in withdrawal of attention up to the eye center. Guru Nanak says, likewise, close the doors of 9 exits, live absorbed in the 10th, your own, closing the 9 openings, withdrawing attention from these, we reach a lane leading to the kingdom of God. What is happening there? Where unending echoes are unplayed music, where unending echoes of unplayed music are audible to a master alone. The life of all the lives in all the universes is there. That is divine music. The same thing is said by Guru Ram Das, fourth master of the sixth Guru Nanak being the first. 9 doors, all these 9 are tasteless, sweet nectar drops in the 10th. Yogis came to the Gurus and asked them about the Nam and its location. The latter, the master told them that when you transcend the 6 centers of the body and come up, you will then contact that holy name, divine in nature. The sweetness of the nectar that liberates is not found below the eye center. When you ascend high, there is nectar that you drink. The same thing is said by other saints. Just look into your holy box. When your inquiry is completed, you will come to the point that all speak of the same truth. Name divine and the name are one. Through your soul you can listen. The music divine which is reverberating is to lead us to the named. When you meet the named, you become the named. Every drop that drives the ocean becomes the ocean. Similarly, the soul merging in God becomes God. All saints who ascended on the higher planes have one mission, to merge soul into God. A soul absorbed in music divine is what I call the name divine. When the soul clings to the power, Ram, as you call it, you get peace. Ram means who is diffused all over the world. Every person has showers of nectar within. But who is drinking that nectar? Maya, lust, anger, etc. While enjoying sweet things in the world, we are being robbed of our treasures. When vacating the 9 exits, we ascend to Turiya, the first region of the Masters, 1000-flame region. You receive nectar and showers there, tasting which lust, anger, etc., Ramas, will take to their heels. You will then realize how lost you were in a dream. This physical life then appears obviously. The divine music, that is reverberating, there will lead us to the God.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the first 30 minutes of a talk entitled Message from India. It was recorded and sent on tape from Delhi, India in 1955. The reading this morning was given by Leslie McIntosh on August 21st, 2016. Leslie read for the telephone satsang from 2006 to 2017. Let's now begin her reading.
This morning's satsang will be a reading from Morning Talks, Chapter 34, How Can We Please the Master? And Chapter 35, Whom Should We Love? Part 2. And let's begin Master Satsang with his invocation. Supreme Lord of the Universe, who dwells neither in church nor temple, neither in synagogue nor mosque, but who is the soul of our very soul, we invoke your blessings from the depths of our innermost being. Beloved Master, make us simple, pure, and strong in your all-encompassing love, that all beings may look upon us and see your light shining within us. Holy Word of God, bathe us in the living waters of spirituality. Give us union with the eternal song of the Lord and strengthen our faith in the Master within. These things we do ask in your holy name. Amen. Morning Talks, Chapter 34. How can we please the Master? If the Master or the Guru is pleased with you, then be rest assured that God is pleased with you because God is manifested in him. If at the heart of hearts he is not pleased with you, then who can approach him to be kind to you? If God is displeased, there is a way. There is a place where you can approach. That place is where God is manifest, the God in man. If the God in man is displeased, there is no place. What is the criterion for a man to know whether he has got a real love for the Master or the Guru? If the Master is displeased with you and calls you names, even then your love for him should never waver, not the least. This is the criterion to show. Even if he calls you names or rebukes you, of course, he will not do that. You will still love him. You will be attracted to him. Sometimes a child will say something to the mother which is not feasible, but even the mother does not take it ill. Now the question arises, how can the Master be pleased? There are two ways, and the first one is, whatever attributes he has got in his life should be adopted in your own life. We should copy, live according to those qualifications which we see in him. The qualifications in him are the qualifications of God on a miniature scale. God gives to everybody whom he creates, because naturally, the Creator will love his creation. So the Guru will love his disciples because it is he who has given birth to them on the inner way. As he loves us, so should we love all. He wouldn't let anybody suffer, and you should not let anybody suffer. You must share with others. These are some of the qualifications that the Master has and are the attributes of God reflected in him. The second way is to just live up to strictly, literally, what he says. I gave an example of the 5 Pandavas who were sent to a guru for education. So the first lesson that he gave them was to learn to tell the truth, to speak the truth. Then he told them to memorize this. They went away and, with the exception of one, returned the next day. The guru asked the other 4 Pandavas where the 5th one was and why they replied that he was memorizing the lesson given to him. A week passed before he turned up, and then he came and said, "Well, Guruji, I have now learned what you told me, to tell the truth, to speak the truth." The others ridiculed him and said, "Look here, Guruji, we remembered these few words the very moment you told us, while it has taken him a week to memorize them." The guru then explained the true meaning of the lesson and made the other 4 Pandavas promise to speak no lies. So whatever the guru says, live up to it. Just write it down in your own life. One pandit, Guru Dutt by name, was a disciple of Swami Dayanand, the founder of the Arya Samaj. Somebody said to him that he should write the life story of his guru. "All right," he said, "I'll write." 2 months, 3 months passed, and they asked him what he was doing. He said, "I am writing." 6 months, a year passed, and they wanted to know what he was doing with it. He replied, "Oh, I am writing very hard." Another 2 years passed, and they asked him, "How much had he written?" "Oh, I am writing very hard," he said. What is the writing of a master's life? It is just to have the very qualifications of the master in our own life. So whatever we say, it must be sweet words. Kind words imbued with humility don't cost anything. If you have that attitude in life, I think that 90% of your troubles will be avoided. So we must live up to what the master says literally. This is one way of pleasing the master or the guru. The other way is that you should adopt the qualifications that he has got in your own life. Sometimes the master has to train the disciple in order to make a man out of him. Sometimes he has to boost him up, saying, "All right, you have been a very good boy, doing your best, and I am pleased." Other times, he has to say that the disciple has done something wrong and does not pay attention to the master. Not to pay attention to what the master says is more than death to the man who has love for the master. A little word of encouragement from the master, and he gets a boost from within for his soul. The master has different ways to bring out the man in the disciple, but people generally do not understand him. So you should live, try to copy the life of the master and your own life and adopt the good qualifications that he has got, and also live up to what he says. The best way to become the abode of all qualifications is to have a sweet tongue, kind words, imbued with humility. The master has to clean the heart of the disciple, not in one day, but it takes time. The clothes which have been washed can be put in the basket, not the dirty clothes. The master has love for the disciple as the mother has love for her child. If the child is besmeared with filth, what does the mother do? She simply washes it with love and then hugs it to her breast. So, love the sinner but hate the sin. Do not have hatred in the outer way, but have sweet words imbued with humility. These are the things that will endear us to the Master. You should live up to what he says, even if it costs you your life. This is the criterion to show how the Master can be pleased. If he is pleased, but God in him is pleased, then God is also pleased. So the first criterion to know if you have real love for the Master is, even if he hates you, calls you names, God forbid, he never does it. But even if it comes to that, your love for him should not waver. He may not allow you to come near him for some time. I am speaking out of my own experience in life. Because of some propaganda or other things, then still you must be endeared to him. You must love him. This is the ultimate criterion to show the man who has become, I live, not now I, but Christ lives in me. Second, whatever qualifications he has got, try to adopt them in your own life. Live up to them. And third, live up to strictly what he says, literally, without any regard to what your mind says or what your heart likes. Once it was my duty to give a satsang at Lahore on one Sunday. At that time, I happened to visit my master, who was residing at Bees, and arrived there at about 12 at night. I had the good fortune to be permitted to see my master anytime. He lived on the third floor, and I went up there to see him. So the time was getting late, and I had a mind to remain with my master and detail somebody else to give a talk. The time came for me to leave Lahore, and the master said, aren't you to give a satsang in Lahore? Yes, I replied. All right, go then. So, of course, I caught the train for Lahore and gave the satsang. So I have given you three things to show whether you have got real love for the Master. He is the abode of all good qualifications. Whatever qualifications are in God are also reflected in the Master. Live up to them. Adopt them in your life, and live strictly, literally, up to what he says. Pay respect to his words rather than to his body. If there are four or five children, and one child goes according to the will and pleasure of his father and does not demand anything, while the others demand this and that thing and do not live up to what the Father says, then whom will the Father love? So try to win the love of the Master by giving as I have told you. Just have those qualifications that he has got pleasure in his life. Write them down in your life, not on paper. I gave you an example of Pandit Guru Dutt, who was a disciple of Swami Dayanand, the founder of Ayura Samaj. When some people asked him to write the life history of Swami Dayanand, he replied that he would do so. 2 months passed, 3 months passed, a year passed. Then they asked him what he was doing with it. "Well, I am writing," he said. 2 or 3 years passed, and they asked him how far he had got with it. He replied, "I am writing very hard." "Oh, what have you written after all?" they asked him. "The writing of a life history of the Master is just to have his life in your own life. I am writing in my own life." Such like students work wonders because of the God in him. So you have to come to know these things today, these three things today. The first criterion to show whether you have got real love for the Master. Even if he calls you names, you will be attracted to him. The second is to have those qualifications which are reflected in him from God in your own life. These are simplicity and kind words imbued with humility. The third is to live up strictly to what he says, not even caring for your own life. If you leave everything to the Master has to take care of the child. So these are the three things that I've explained to you today. These things are not given in the books in a digest form or in such detail as these morning talks convey. If you want to be endeared to the Master, then live up to what he says. He will never leave you. Mind that. Christ said, "I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee till the end of the world." The Master never leaves the disciple. He is the God in him. How can he? We are created by him. You are the God in you and are micro-gods. The Master tries to bring out the God in him, in you, by making you live up strictly to what he says, and by asking you to copy from his life. These are the main things to understand and live up to. Chapter 35 of Morning Talks, Whom Should We Love? Part 2. God is love. Our soul is also love in its nature. That love is innate in our soul, and it is natural that love wants somebody to love and to be loved by somebody. Every man wants to love somebody, and that somebody should be there to love him. This is but natural. Now the question at hand is, whom should we love? Our soul is a conscious entity. Love is innate in its nature, and it requires somebody whom it can love. A conscious entity should love an all-conscious God. Our love has been just something that is not conscious or less conscious. The material world is engaged in outward attachments. So the result is, we go where we are attached. The man body is the highest rung in creation and the highest thing that we can achieve in this man body is to go back to the home of our Father. The true home of our conscious self is the true home of our Father and is all consciousness. So we should love God, who is immune from coming and going. He is ever existent in all eternity. All of creation came into being by His wish. It is all His expression. The point is, if we have not seen God, how can we love Him? We should love God, but to love God, we must be able to see Him. We must be able to come into contact with Him, enjoy His society and company. For that purpose, God resides in every heart, but blessed is the heart in which He is manifest. The manifested God in man is to be loved so that the God in him may by radiation boost up the love which is already in us and give us something permanent which is never to decay. This is the God in us, already existent, and is the controlling power which keeps us in the body. So to love God, the first step is to love such a human pole in which He is manifested. That human pole is the God in man, or man in God, who speaks as inspired by God. Although the words appear to be coming through a human throat. But it is not He who is speaking. It is the God in Him. Guru Nanak once said, "I talk what God speaks through me. I am a mere puppet, merely the mouthpiece of God. So whom should we love? We should love God, so that we should have an eternal life, never to return to the world. We may be sent to the world as teachers, but not as convicts. To have contact with God, we should have the society of such like persons in whom God is manifest and who are competent to open our inner eye to see God. Not God absolute, but God into expression, who is the cause of all creation and who is immanent in every form, pervading all, animate and inanimate. So loving Him will uphold us and give us eternal life. How do we get a contact with God? The only way is through the God that is manifest in the human body. As a matter of reverence, Master sometimes speaks of a comparison. If God and the human body, where He is manifest, are both standing before us, to whom should we pay reverence? Naturally, to the human body in which God is manifest, because if God does not meet us, how then can we have love for God unless we see Him? The manifested God in man gives us an experience of the God in us. So as a matter of reverence, we say, all right, we should bow down to the God in man rather than God immanent, because the latter can only be contacted through the love of God which is manifested. That is why the Masters say, I will bow down to the human body in which He is manifested. The God in man cannot be greater than God, mind that, but we pay respect to the God in Him, because it is only through Him that we are able to have some glimpse of God. We should first serve God, and then the God in man. Both are good things which will lead us on the way back to God and to eternal life. We serve God because only by coming in contact with Him may we be able to be emancipated from the wheel of transmigration. We serve the God in man because He gives us a contact with the God in us. So both things are inseparable. Without the one, you cannot do the other. The love of God is the love of God in man, and the love of God in man is the love of God. Maulana Rumi says, if you come by such a human body where God is manifest, you are nearer to God, you are sitting by Him. If you want to sit in the presence of God, then sit in the presence of some human body in which He is manifest. And we'll stop there for this morning's reading from Morning Talks, Chapter 34, How Can We Please the Master? And part of Chapter 35, Whom Should We Love? Part 2. In conclusion, Master says, each one of us is unique in our own way. There is a divine purpose behind the life of everyone who comes into the world. No one has been created for nothing. We have something to learn from everyone. This is the mystery of humility. And that'll conclude Master's satsang for this morning. Thank you so much, Master.
We thank Leslie for reading Master's gracious words to us. In addition, I will read Master's conclusion to the 1966 Christmas and New Year's message. The law of the kingdom is love. The entire code of conduct of one who belongs to the kingdom may be summed up in two thoughts: love of God and love of man. Let us live a new life of peace, harmony, and love. The essence of religion is love, peace, humility, service, and sympathy. Love all, not merely your relatives and friends. Love the sinner too. Bless them that curse you. Pray like Guru Nanak. Peace be unto all the world over, under thy will, O God. There were 77 participants at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for bringing us together to strengthen our bonds of loving devotion to you.
What is the way back to God? First, humility. Second, humility. And third, humility. When you are humble, you learn something. When you know everything, naturally you are just stuck fast in your own self-assumed ignorance. It may be taken as truth, but that may be wrong.